And I know that, you know, as we prayed last Sunday for family members, we prayed for those. I'm hearing stories of what God has done. And Judy was one that came to me this morning, and I said, well, let's just share that, because there's so many stories of what God has been doing. And so thank you. Thank you for your prayers. And let's continue to faithfully pray for our family members and those that we are crying out to the Lord for, because Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Keep on interceding and praying. Lord, as we come to your word now, we thank you for the privilege that we have of hearing your word, reading your word, speaking your word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us right now. Speak to us, reveal new truths to us, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I can clearly remember a story or a time in my life. It was in 1981, and I was walking from our house to the church, and it was a short hill in a small town of Gary and Marita. Well, the only ones in this room that know it is Estcourt in KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. It's a small farming town. At that time, in 81, it was a smaller town, and I clearly remember my dad was the pastor of the church, and I was walking up this hill on my own for the evening service. We still had Sunday evening services then, and I was soon to be a teenager, and the Lord was just speaking to me. The Lord was just laying on my heart, just revealing things to me, and I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but the Holy Spirit was convicting me and really speaking to me, and I was going, as I was walking up this hill, it suddenly dawned on me that everything that my Sunday school teachers, my father, my teachers and Christian leaders had been teaching me was true. It was a revelation that the story of Noah, the story of Samson, the creation, David, King David, the story of Nehemiah, Jonah, those are true. It was truth. And as I realized that, I said, well, if that's true, then everything in this word is true. Amen. Everything in this Bible is true. And I said, well, if that's true, then I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. Either I continue to walk in this lifestyle of selfishness and it's all about me, or I walk following Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I say, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do with this life that is now yours? And I made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it was that revelation of, oh my goodness, this is true. And you know, because as a child, you grow up and you have the Easter Bunny and then you have Jonah and the whale. And it just kind of blends and you don't know. Well, the truth is the Word of God. And as we've been singing today, the Word of God speaks. And so I had to come up with that question. And I think every one of us, some point in our life, had to come with that question, that decision, is this true? Because if it is true, it should change every one of us eternally. It changes the way we view life. It changes everything about us. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures allow us to be equipped for every good work. Paul says that all scripture, every word, is God-breathed. It means that the Holy Spirit inspired the authors to write it. The Holy Spirit spoke to the some 40 different authors of the Bible. The Bible is written over 1,500 years. Over a time span of 1,500 years, 15 centuries, somewhere in the region of 40 different authors. But all of these authors and all of these writers don't contradict each other. In fact, many of the prophecies fall in line exactly with each other. It is a miracle in itself in all these different authors and the way the Bible is put together. There's power in the Word of God because it is not just the thoughts of man. If it was just the thoughts of mankind, this book would have ceased to exist a long time ago. But it was breathed, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is the Word of God. That is the Bible we have. These 40 different men came from so many diverse backgrounds. Isaiah was a prophet. Ezra was a priest. Matthew was a tax collector. John was a fisherman. Paul was a tent maker. Moses was a wandering shepherd for 40 years. And he wrote a lot of the first five books of the Old Testament. Every one of these authors, though, God used them in three different languages to write what we have as the Bible today, the Word of God. There's no way that all of those could have conspired together to come up with the same story. And the reason why this book is so powerful, the reason why this book is so incredible, it all speaks about Jesus. From cover to cover, it points to Jesus Christ. It points to the Savior of the world. And it points to the fact that there is one way of salvation, and it's Jesus Christ. 3 weeks ago, I spoke on, in the first part of the sermon series on stewardship, I spoke about setting time aside to read the Word of God. Remember, I said you cannot make time to read the Word of God. We cannot create time, but we have to set time aside. We actually have to be diligent. And it's not that, you know, as the pastor, I'm encouraging you to read the Bible because that's what, you know, I should do. And it's a good thing to do. It's not just a religious observance. I really believe, and we'll elaborate on today, that reading the Word of God has the power to transform lives, has the power to help you to overcome struggles in life. It is the Word of God. Daily reading of the Bible is absolutely critical today in our 21st century world, where truth is so irrelevant in so many spheres of society. This word, I can guarantee you, is truth. It is the Word of God. And to have something we can hold on to and say, this is truth. The Barner Group, working with the American Bible Society, has done a survey, which is somewhat encouraging. And they did the survey over 6 years. It's called The Bible in America. And what they found was 75% of Americans believe the Bible to contain everything a person needs to know in order to live a meaningful life. That's a high percentage. 80% of Americans view the Bible as sacred literature. 64% believe that the Bible has more influence on humanity than any other text. 75% believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, if 75% believe it's the inspired Word of God, why are we not seeing that reflected in society? Although just one-third of Americans profess to reading the Bible at least once a week. Although the majority, 62%, express the desire to read the Bible more frequently. Yet, though, in spite of this encouraging news, the Barner Report found that those who view the Bible as an outdated book of stories, teaching, and advice has risen from 12% to 22%. Those that view the Bible as sacred literature has declined from 86% to 80%. And those that view the Bible as not a sufficient guide for meaningful living has risen from 23% to 33%. So the Word of God is diminishing in our society, and we can see that. We can see that in our society. We've seen the decline in society. Say, why is it? It's because people aren't reading the Word of God that He gave us as our guide for life. Roy Peterson, he's the president and CEO of the American Bible Society, and he said this: it's not getting any easier. As we look at modern-day America, we see a country moving away for decades now from the foundational biblical values so cherished by those who have come before us. But as America is shaken by skepticism, this is the time to renew hope in the promises of God's Word. When people are battling extreme violence, poverty, and oppression, this is our time to open the healing words of Scripture. Those are words of truth. More than ever before, we need to open the Word of God and speak and read the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, "The Scriptures were not given to us for information, but they were given to us for transformation." The Scriptures aren't just information. They were given to us for our transformation. So over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to look at Psalm 119. And I jokingly said to a few of the staff members, I'm going to preach through Psalm 119 in 2 weeks. And it's going to take 2 weeks, literally every day, to get through it. But no, I'm just going to touch on two sections of Psalm 119, one today and one next week. Psalm 119, as many of you know, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. It's almost directly in the middle of the Bible. I think Psalm 117 is directly in the middle of the Bible. But it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's broken up into stanzas of 8 verses each. And each section is headlined by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 sections, 8 verses each. And it's a fascinating psalm. And a lot of people don't read it because they say, well, it's too long. You know, it takes too long to read. Well, it doesn't really. It takes a few minutes to read it. But it's powerful because it's all about the Word of God. The Hebrew word for 8 means abundance, or it means more than enough. And this psalm is broken up into sections of 8 all the way through. And scholars have said that's because it shows, it focuses on the Word of God all the time, saying that the Word of God is abundant. It is more than enough for our life. It is more than enough instruction for us for lifestyle and how to live the Christian life. It pertains to life and godliness. It is abundant, the Word of God. The reason is that all of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, point to Jesus. Our all-sufficient Savior is Jesus Christ. One of the most outstanding features of Psalm 119, if you've read it, you will notice that over and over and over, every single verse, except for 5 or 6 verses, mentions the Word of God. And it uses at least 10 different words meaning the Word of God. Some of them are laws, decrees, commands, statutes, precepts, the Word, and so on. All but 5 verses have one of those words in them. It points to the Word of God all the time. It doesn't stop. And all these words refer to what we have and know as the Old Testament today, pointing to the law, the precepts, the decrees of God. The author of this psalm is unknown, is one of those psalms that they're not sure who wrote it, but they believe it was written around the time of Ezra. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And Ezra led a revival as he opened the Word of God and he read to the people. It was one of the most powerful and significant times in the history of the children of Israel. As the children of Israel are coming out of captivity and they were coming back into the land, coming back into the land of Israel, and Ezra opened the Word of God and began reading it. And the response of the people was amazing. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, we read this. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Nehemiah records that The people stood and listened intently for 6 hours as Ezra read the Word of God. They worshiped God, hearing the law and the Word of God, the Old Testament, read for 6 hours, and they praised and worshiped God. And it led to a revival. There was repentance. There was weeping, so much so that Nehemiah and the other priests had to go around to the people and say, today is not a day for crying and weeping. Today is a day for rejoicing, as the Word of God was opened. But the Word of God has the power to bring conviction and repentance. I just wish that one day, and actually in the back as we were praying for the service, Cam and I and some of the others were sharing stories of when we'd experienced in other countries how people respond when they hear the Word of God, when they see the Word of God. They get to touch a page of the Word of God that means so much to them. They weep because they've been deprived. They don't know. They don't have the privilege that we have to have the Word of God in our hands. We take it for granted. As Clayton was saying, we wrestle over what translation we like to read. And we're like, well, yeah, I've got 5 different translations. I don't really like that one, but really? It's the Word of God. And allow Him to speak to us. I pray that we would regain some of the sense of awe and respect for the Word of God. So with all that background, let's just look at Psalm 119. And I'm going to read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. And why don't we do that today? I know you're settling down for the message and we're already into it, but why don't we stand and read the Word of God together? Well, let me read it and you can follow. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 119, we're going to start at verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all Your commands, I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to Your word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Praise be to You, Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're just going to focus on the second section, the second stanza of 8 verses, verse 9 through 16. And verse 9 is one that I knew, I had heard read to me many times as a teenager and as a young person. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? And we give this verse to teenagers, we give this verse to children and encourage them to read the Word of God, but really this is for all of us. It applies to all of us. How can any of us stay on the path of purity? The reality is that it is hard. It is difficult. One of the most basic needs of fallen man is the pathway of purity, walking in purity and holiness. So the psalmist poses the question, how can you do this? How can you walk in purity? And it seems like he has a very quick solution. Very simple. By living according to Your word. Exclamation point. That's it. By living according to Your word. Well, if that was the case, why do we find it so difficult? Why do we find it so difficult to walk in purity? If it was just a matter of taking the Word of God, reading it, and applying a few principles to our life, all of us would be walking in purity and holiness, right? There's no simple solution. It's not just simply a set of rules. If it was simply a set of rules and following these rules and decrees, our jails wouldn't be full. We wouldn't be struggling with lawlessness, violence, and crime in our society. It would just be a matter of saying, well, these are the rules, let's apply it. The answer to the question Jesus addresses in Matthew chapter 15. And in Matthew 15, 18, Jesus says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. It is from the heart. It is a problem of the heart. And the psalmist realized this too. In verse 10 and 11, we hear his cry of desperation because he's just come up with a solution, but he realizes it's not working. And he cries in desperation, verse 10 and 11, he says, I will seek you with all my heart. And then in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. Memorizing the word of God. Hide the word of God in your heart. So he has the solution. And he knew that the way of purity is not just following a set of rules. It's not just an outward expression, but it's a deep inward lifestyle. It's knowing the word of God, applying the word of God, but burying the word of God in our lives, in our minds, so much so that our minds are filled with the powerful word of God. The outward lifestyle is always a manifestation of what's going on inside. The way we act, ultimately, is what's happening on the inside, the thoughts that we have. So often you hear on the news when someone has done something terrible and they're interviewing friends and family and they say, that couldn't possibly be him or her. I've never seen them do anything like that. That's out of character for them. They would never have done that. Well, the truth is, that person was probably pondering that in their heart for many years or a long time. Because what is on the inside eventually comes out. The character of a person is outward, or is inward. We see the outward manifestation of the inward problem. So the solution is not just a set of rules that are on the outside. The solution is inward. Making the Word of God part of your life, memorizing it, knowing it, internalizing it, meditating on the Word of God. So the psalmist sees the problem, he identifies the solution, but he realizes that he can't do that on his own strength. He realizes that he needs help. He realized that the Bible is not just a self-help manual that you pick up and apply to your life and carry on and things will go well. There's another component to it that's needed. The component that we desperately need is the Holy Spirit revealing the truth of God to our lives. If we don't have the Holy Spirit giving us the Word of God, giving us the truth of the Word of God, it would be just reading letters on a page. We need the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is the only book that when you read it, the author is sitting with you. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, revealing truth to you. Isn't that amazing? You can pick up any novel, you can pick up any book, you'll never have the author with you. But you read the Bible, the author is with you. And we should come to the Bible every time and say, Word of God, speak. Speak to me, transform my life, reveal truth to me. The psalmist realized this. He understood that he could read it, he could memorize it, but without the help of God, it would never bring transformation. It would never lead to a life of purity. We cannot live a life of purity in our own strength. In verse 13 and verse 12, actually, he says, teach me your decrees. He's asking God to teach him. And then verse 13, he says, he acknowledges that these laws come from the mouth of God. They're not merely a helpful set of guidelines. You know, if someone picked up the Bible and said, well, these authors certainly had some interesting things to say. It's very helpful for life. No, this is the Word of God. We believe the Holy Spirit, according to Paul, inspired the writers to write what they wrote. So we see the progression in this small section of the psalm. The psalmist sees the problem, a life of purity, how to live that life of purity. Then he sees the solution. He says, okay, apply the word of God. Take this word and apply it to my life. And then he realizes, well, there's a problem. In the application, I need a translation. How do I translate that to my life? It's very much like the Ethiopian eunuch. When he was reading Isaiah and he says, I don't understand those words unless someone explains it to me. And you and I, sometimes we'll read the word of God and it doesn't make sense to us. There's words that we struggle with. We have the author with us, helping us and speaking to us. So the author of the psalm says, psalmist realizes that he needs God and he begins to praise God. But finally, what he does, what happens when he understands that God is revealing truth to him, what happens is not just applying rules and laws and decrees to his life, because if that's the case, what happens to him wouldn't happen. But in verse 14, it starts, I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. Now, how many times have you gone to, picked up a legal document, whether it's the church bylaws or whether it's a learning to for your driver's license, and you've seen the laws and the regulations and rejoiced in reading them? If it didn't put you to sleep first. But legal documents aren't something to rejoice over. So what is this? What is the psalmist saying? Why is it bringing joy? Because in applying the word of God, it permeates his life. And he sees the transformation that takes place in his life. He sees how things in his life are falling into alignment, how God is blessing him. And he understands that the law of God, the word of God, is more to be valued than great riches. It is wonderful. These are not emotions that one would say, well, you know, this applies to a set of rules. In verse 16, he says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. The word of God permeates his life. And when the word of God permeates your life, it brings joy. It brings peace. It brings delight. Let's face it, we are in very stressful times. And one of the things that make our lives so stressful is the fact that we have an information overload. We live in a 21st century where there is so much information available. It's unprecedented in all of human history. And I don't know the statistics, but I think they're saying that the amount of information that man can know doubles every 10 years. It's unbelievable. And we're able to get information at the click of a button on your phone. We're able to change channels and watch any amount of news media we want to. It's information. Now, not all of that information is useful. Not all of that information is good for us either. And I'm talking, you know, we can go onto Facebook and watch cat videos for hours. It's become the proverbial cat videos on Facebook. But it consumes us, this information coming at us all the time. It consumes us, and what that does, it creates stress. It does, it creates stress, because our minds never settle. We're constantly seeing new information coming at us all the time, and it is stressful. And it breaks us down. And finally, when we are able to spend some time with God's Word, it's just treated as information. It's just treated as more information that I'm taking in, more of that information that I just shelve and put to one side as useless information. But the Word of God is not that. It has the power of God to transform lives. So we desperately need to pull time away from our crazy busy schedules and force ourselves to take time aside and read, meditate on the Word of God, allowing it to permeate our lives. And as we do that, we'll find that our stress levels decrease. One of the best things you could possibly do, and I'm not saying this because I'm a morning person, but is to start out the day reading the Word of God. Getting into the discipline of reading the Word of God every day. It's one of the best things you can do for your health, for your mental ability, but also for a walking in a lifestyle of purity. It is absolutely essential. This Bible, this book, truly is our Heavenly Father's love letter to you. He wrote this for you. The Creator of the universe wrote these words for you. Why wouldn't you spend time reading it, loving it? It has the power to transform your life. It is your daily bread. It is the sword of the Spirit, and it is the truth that gives light to your way. It is the Word of God. We need to love this Word. We need to love this book. It is supernatural in its authoring. It's supernatural in its reading, and it's supernatural in its application. It is the Word of God. It is not just another book. It is supernatural because it's able to bring transformation to your life, to my life, and to anyone who reads it. There are many, many stories of people who found a Bible, followers of other religions, who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior just by reading the Word of God. It has the power to transform lives. The purpose of Bible study, and I'm an advocate of teaching and training and learning more about the Word of God, but the purpose of Bible study is not so that we can just have more information, so that we can be able to convince others and become good apologists of the Word of God. The purpose of Bible study is to equip believers for good works. The reason we read and study and know the Word of God is so that it transforms us so that we can go out and do what God has called us to do. As a church, if we study the Word of God, we'll become better equipped to do what God has called us to do. We're called by God to do good works, as Paul says. Again, D.L. Moody said, "The Scriptures were not given for our information, but our transformation." On Wednesday night, we have a life group that meets in the dining room. And one of the things, we go through different passages of the Scripture. And as we go through it, I have a little acronym that we use, SOS. And as we read the Scripture, we'll read it, and I'll say, let's look at the first S. What does this passage say? What does it say to me? What is this passage saying about me and my lifestyle and where I am right now? Then the O, what do I need to obey? What is God saying to me? But then what is He saying? Obey me in this area of life. And then the final S is, who do I need to share this with? So every time you read the Bible, think SOS. What does it say? What do I need to obey? And who can I share this with? That is the application of transforming our lives to do the good works that God has called us to do. It's as simple as that. So if you can't remember the whole sermon, just remember SOS. I think you can remember that. But how much time do you spend reading the Word of God? How much time do you spend reading what God wrote for you to transform your life? It is the ability that God has given us. The Bible will give us the ability to overcome temptation. It'll give us the ability to live victorious Christian lives. And again, not just so that we can become good people who know a lot of things, but so that we can transform the community around us. So that the people we work with, when they go through difficult times and they're struggling, we're able to share the truth of God's Word with them. Read the Bible. Our ability to walk as victorious Christians is directly proportional to the amount of time we spend reading God's Word. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we know this well, when Jesus was tempted and taken by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and Satan came and tempted him, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy every time. And simply by quoting the Word of God, Jesus was able to reject and push away and defeat Satan in the hour of temptation. Jesus knew the Word of God. And He was able to use it. There is no other weapon that we need in our Christian walk than the Word of God. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church in chapter 6, he speaks about the armor of God. There's only one offensive weapon in the armor of God. It is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need to know how to use that. So many times we become Christians and we say, well, I'm just going to defend myself. I'm not going to know how to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We need to know the Word of God and apply it to our lives. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." What a word. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How many times have you read the Bible and there's one verse that's just really hit you right between the eyes and said, I didn't see that before. That applies to me right now. The Word of God applies to you and it applies to me. I don't want you to miss this. It's not just simply a book that we could pick up like we could pick up a novel and say, well, I have a choice today. I can either read this or I can read this latest novel that's just come out. I want to say stop reading other books by all means, but this is a special book. It's not just a collection of letters that somebody thought would be a good thing to write. It is the very Word of God with the power to transform us. And come expectant to God's Word. You know, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing is stumble, get the coffee, and then get to the Bible. I even challenge myself, how many times do I come expectant to God's Word? Saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to speak to me through the truths of your Word? In your bulletins, and I don't have one up here, but you would have received a flyer on Psalm 119. And there are 24 characteristics of God's Word just taken from Psalm 119. And I challenge you over the next week to take four of those each day. Maybe you can do all of them this afternoon, that's fine. But just take four a day, read those verses, and pray over them. And allow God to speak to you this week through Psalm 119. The characteristics, the attributes of God's Word. Pray over them. Allow God to speak to you. I really challenge you to do that this week. And, read Psalm 119, because Psalm 119, again, values the Word of God. It is all about the Word of God. It is the center point of the Word of God. And my prayer is that as we grow as a church, we'll become so excited about the Word of God that when we gather on a Sunday morning, we'll get together and say, look what God showed me this week. You see this verse? This applied to my life this week. God spoke to me here this week. Or when we gather and someone is struggling, we can say, I've got something for you. God says in His Word, and it applies to our lives. There's nothing that happens to us in our lives that this book does not speak to, even though it was written thousands of years ago, because it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. So let us become people of the Word. We're known for that. We have the Bible in the middle of our church. There's a reason it's right there. Let's be people of the Word that love the Word of God, that feed on the Word of God every day. Love this book. God wrote it for you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your Word.